Bring you greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. Happy to be here with you and share in this service. We are, as was mentioned before, on holy ground. And I appreciated Brother Lauren's comments, and in the devotions, we believe that God is here. We believe the presence of Jesus, the presence of God is in our midst. I think of the verse that says, if your presence does not go with us, carry us not up hence. Let's not go through this without God. I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. I've titled the message this morning, Walking with God Through Change. Walking with God Through Change. When Brother Steve called me a number of weeks ago and asked if I would be willing to come to the Bronx for this service, there was a part of me that recoiled in fear, a part of me that was apprehensive. And in my weak human approach to life, it seemed like a huge undertaking, I being ordained less than a year. But you know what? If we focus on the challenges and changes of life through the eyes of our human perspective, those things, those changes in life will threaten to overthrow us and drown us in despair. But I'm thankful this morning for the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit that it makes it possible for us to move through life and the changes in life with trust in Him and strength for the journey, strength to go on. I would like to look at Abraham's life this morning and take just a few inspirations from his life in how we can journey on through change. As I studied Abraham's life a few weeks ago, I was studying the call of God on Abraham's life to offer Isaac. And I pondered that. It is awesome. When I pondered my own heart, and Abraham's move to the altar to sacrifice what was most dear to him. We have met this morning, it has been said before, as alluded to already, a special service. We've met to worship God, the creator of the universe. We've met to adore him, to give him honor and praise. We've met to seek his will in relation to leadership for the Light of Truth congregation. May the peace of God and the presence of God be felt among us as we proceed through faith through this worship service. I would like to begin by just, before we look at Genesis chapter 12, I want to move through and look at basically four areas. Maybe we could call them crisis experiences in Abraham's life. I'm not sure. I didn't title them that way. But there are four areas we like to look at to strengthen our faith. Just call us to just ponder our hearts this morning. But before I do that, I'd like to remind you of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Also John 17, where we have the high priestly prayer of Jesus, and he says, In verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are. And listen to this one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Why? That the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. I want to emphasize the fact, before we get into the message here, as was mentioned, this is not Steve's work, it is not man's work, it is God's work, and God is here, and His desire is that we would be one as he is one with the Father. As the Father is in him, we in him. To me, that gives tremendous courage to go on through life and the changes that come. This morning, there is a huge difference in where the Christian gets his direction and where the world gets the direction. We can have comfort this morning. Abraham, while Abraham's life was not perfect, if you look at the story of Abraham, you can see there were some times where Abraham's faith was weak. But yet God calls him, in Hebrews 11, a man of faith. And he stands out as a bulwark for us as he faced the crisis in his experience, the changes. Can you feel the heartthrob of Jesus this morning when he says that they may be one as we are, I in them and thou in me? God's heart is turned towards his children. And we believe his presence, and we believe his presence here. I would like to look just for a few moments at what has changed, and then we'll move into, I think I have five different expressions of the man of faith that walks with God, and in strengthening our faith. What has changed? You know what change is? We experience change all around us. Webster simply says this: change is to make or become different, to exchange for another. We are accustomed to hearing people talk about living in a changing times. Times are changing. The list consists of many things. We're getting older. Our bodies change. We look at photo albums and pictures of family when it was 10 years ago and today, and we see change. Startling change. Change comes. Since the creation and the fall of man, decay and ruin on the earth has brought change. Things are changing. All right, that's the one side. But there is a God that never changes. The rules of God, the laws of God never change. But yet we see change in related to the fallen nature of man and our bodies. Change. We cannot be alive and be exempt from change. Change comes. Now, I see change coming to us as we look at it from a human perspective. I see change coming to us in primarily two ways. One is there is change that we consent to. We consent to change a certain element. We're going to change a job. We plan for it. And we change. We consent. We sort of control that change. We do that all the time. All throughout the day. We might change our mind about something. A relation to work. Or what we're going to bake. Or We change. We change. It's okay. Then there are things that come to us, changes that come to us without our consent. A loved one is gone instantly. A change. We didn't consent to that change. Your mind could think of other things. Changes that maybe came in your experience without your consent. What I mean without your consent, your will. The will of you as a person didn't call for the change. You didn't... whatever. Those changes are what become difficult for us as humans. I would like to emphasize the point that in those changes, that's where God wants to come into our life and say, trust me. Trust me. Believe in me. Follow me. Call out to me. Surrender your will to me. I will be a father to you. There's fear in change. There's fear in change. Remember when Jesus was in the garden and the weight of the hour was pressing down upon him. And what did he do? He prayed. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed again, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Change. But he was willing. A submitted heart. I believe you as a congregation this morning have been seeking the will of God. I know that by hearing of your prayers and your gathering together to pray, seeking the will of God in this matter. And I believe you have submitted your will to the will of God. But you know, it's a daily, continue, surrender, submit. You know, one of the biggest obstacles to experiencing peace and change is the war that rages, as I said before, between our will and God's plan. Now, let's move into the message. Number one, the man of faith walks with God even though the destination is unclear. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Joshua 24, verse 2 would tell us that there was some idolatry. There was some worship of idols going on. Abraham's heart was seeking God, wanting God, the things of God. God called him out of the land to a land that he didn't know of. A man of faith walks with God even though the destination is unclear. That's unsettling to us. To me, it is. No, I'm not talking about just going out. Let me say it this way. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have left home. You have no place to call your home. You do not know where you are going. You do not know where you're going to sleep tonight. Your destination is unclear. Maybe your family rejected you and you were taken from them and sent on a journey and you do not know where the end's going to be. The reason Abraham was on a journey was because he believed in God. God called him out of the country. His faith in God moved his heart to action. And he went. We never go wrong trusting God. If you're homeless this morning, if you don't know where you're going to sleep tonight, cry out to God. Cry out to God. A few years ago, I was on a flight returning home from the Bahama Islands. The trip was going along quite well. We were having an enjoyable trip. The plane flight was smooth. But as we got up closer to BWI Airport, where we were going to land, the sun was down, it was now dark. The pilot came over the PA system and he said, we're going to go into a holding pattern. They're having some trouble landing planes at the airport because of ice and snow. A few planes were skidding, and there was some trouble. We're going to hold. Our destination was BWI. And a few minutes later, he came on again and he said, BWI Airport is closed. We're going to try to make up time and get to Philadelphia Airport before it closes. We hadn't realized there was a snowstorm in the States. So we sped on. You could hear the engines throttle up, and we sped on to Philadelphia Airport. And as we were descending to land, I remember feeling that the descent just seemed like we were coming down a long time. We were coming down, and we should soon be on the runway. Soon. I mean, you thought you were probably going to be there soon, but then, you know, they speed up again. And there in the plane, there was a sense of, and it was pretty rough, there was a sense of people were nervous. People were nervous. I remember being amazed that the first time I saw the lights of the runway, we were basically landing. We were almost there. I mean, we were right here. And I was amazed how a pilot could bring a plane down right there. He didn't see the runway lights. He didn't know by visual sight where he was. But you know what? He had instruments that told him where he was. He had a control tower that was communicating with him, I'm sure. What's the point? The point is this: when God calls us to a destination that is unclear, now remember, we're following God, okay? Following God, not following God, okay? To a destination that's unclear is but turmoil and dismay. But following God, when he takes you to a destination that's not clear at the beginning, we can trust his leading even when we cannot see the end. I was told already that one of the leading accidents in flying is when pilots do not believe the instruments and they try to take control of it themselves. The plane crashes. Loved ones, this morning, faithful is he that calls you who also will do it. Trust in God. Abraham moved on. Verse 4 of chapter 12, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot his nephew went with him, and they departed. They went out. End of chapter 12, we have Abraham going down to Egypt because of a famine. We have a little dark spot here. But I see in Abraham's life God moving him through experiences of faith to the climax at the end. Number 2, the man of faith walks with God even though it may require separation from those he loves. Genesis chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. And Abraham said unto Lot, we have here Abraham returning to Canaan. And the land was not big enough to support Abraham's flocks and Lot's flocks together. And there was strife. There was things developing between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants. And who took the initiative but Abraham and said, "Lot, you know." Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 13. "And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right hand, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." I believe, according to the way things were done here in this time, Abraham as the elder would have had the right to choose first. He would have had the right. But he didn't. He left it to Lot. The man of faith walks with God even though it may require separation. Abraham at this point had no son. He had no heir. And Lot was in line to be Abraham's heir. It was okay. It could have been worked out. But yet, there was a separation that needed to happen. A man of God, a man of faith, walks with God, even though it may require separation from those he loves. I don't know what that means to you this morning. I don't know what that speaks into your experience. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that at times when a person calls and accepts the call of God, the call of God in a person's life is conflicting with the call of Satan and the devil. It conflicts. I'm not saying that Lot put his lot with Satan and the devil. That's not what I'm saying. We know what the Bible says about Lot, and we leave that there. Am I willing to travel with God? Notice what God told Abraham right after Lot separated from him in verse 14 of chapter 13. "And the Lord said unto Abraham after that Lot separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." And he goes on to say that he's going to make his seed as the dust of the earth. He tells him to arise and walk through the land. And I'm also impressed with how Abraham from time to time, verse 18, what did he do? But at the end, he built an altar and worshiped God. Worship to God. God rewarded Abraham. We do not follow God with ulterior motives just to receive a reward. We follow God because we surrender our will to Him. We follow God to worship Him, to build an altar, to sacrifice our desires, to experience the blessing, one must be willing to offer the sacrifice. Number three, Abraham's life. The man of faith is willing to forego his preference and embrace the promise of God. This one I take from Genesis 17, 18 and 19. You see, Abraham had a problem. God promised him seed. God promised him nations. He promised him a son. But yet, how was this going to happen? It didn't work out with Lot. That wasn't God's plan. Okay, maybe Ishmael is God's plan. Genesis 17, verse 18 and 19. We know the story. Maybe you don't know the story, but Abraham had a son through Hagar. And by what this chapter says, I believe that Abraham, in verse 18, Abraham simply says this, God is telling him about separating this son and its mother, his mother. And God says, and Abraham says, and Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." You see, God had another plan. A man of faith walks with God even though it may require separation. A man of faith is willing to forgo his preference and embrace the promise of God. God again called Abraham back to just trust in me, believe in me. I can work out the details. It appears that Abraham and Sarah may have thought that they needed to help God in fulfilling his promise. When Ishmael was born, no doubt Abraham thought that this was part of God's plan. But God showed him yet another plan. It was part of God's plan, but it wasn't part of God's plan in bringing redemption to the race. Man's efforts to improve on the plan of God only result in hurt and confusion. I think we can see the grace of God at work in the life of Abraham. There were numerous times when it appears that Abraham maybe was weak, but yet God's grace was sufficient. God's grace was there. God was in the process of bringing Abraham to a rich faith. I would remind us of what Paul says about Abraham in Romans 4, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be called. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Walking with God through change. Strong in faith. Could it be possible this morning that we're sitting here and we're pondering the service that's before us? Could it be possible this morning that we have some preferences? We have a direction. You see, I like to think things out. And by the time I get to really asking God, it's more like telling God, you know, pretty much this is, yeah, here it is, you know, give us this, or give me this. Could it be this morning that God is asking all of us just to lay down your preference and just follow my promise? It may be different than what we would have imagined. If that is the case, what are you going to do with your unconsented will? I'd like to challenge us in that. I know an individual. It's very difficult for them to walk through life in given experiences unless they can be assured of the end result. That's not really how God works. God assures us of the end result. Really, he does. But God does not show us everything through the journey. He doesn't. Number 4, the man of faith surrenders, the man of faith surrenders all to God. Turn to Genesis 22. If you have your Bibles. We come now to Abraham's. There's a lot that happens here in Genesis. We have you know, the story of Lot, and we have the story of the kings that came and took Lot away. We have the story of Abraham going with his men and bringing Lot back. Okay, just a side note here. Abraham could do that is because Abraham was prepared beforehand what to do in those situations. He didn't just prepare then. So we have him bringing Lot back. We have the story of Sodom, Gomorrah, the destruction there. We have the story of Lot's wife turning back and looking and becoming a pillar of salt. And now we have Isaac on the scene, the promised heir. And we have God telling Abraham in verse 2 of chapter 22, and he says, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of." Can you with me just put yourself in Abraham's shoes or sandals, whatever you want to call it? What was happening in the heathen lands? They were offering children too. The promised heir. God told Abraham, take him, offer him. Verse 3, Abraham toils all night. He's struggling. He's not going. No. Well, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But it says this, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him, about 50 miles away, the site of which most likely is where the temple of Solomon was built. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham says to his young man, he says, stay here. I and the lad are going to go yonder, and we're going to worship. And then we're going to come again to you. How could Abraham say that? He believed that even if he killed Isaac, that God was able to raise Isaac back to life. Man of faith surrenders all to God. God tells him, after the fact where Abraham laid him on the Isaac on the altar, he lifted his knife to slay him, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he tells him not to do anything. And he says, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. What is it this morning that stands between you and total surrender to God? Oh, that's a challenge to me. That is a challenge to me. Oh, that God would melt my heart. Oh, that God would work in my life and show me the things that stand between total surrender to God. Total. You see, God is looking for men and women this morning of dedication and total dependence. God has a way of bringing those things, bringing that about in our lives if we are walking with Him, bringing us to a place where we're willing to just lay it all down. In Abraham's eyes, Isaac was as good as dead. But he believed God. He believed God. A man of faith, number 5, the man of faith walks with God. The man of faith is a partaker of the blessings promised to Abraham. You see, the story of Abraham, God's promise to Abraham, God's covenant with Abraham. Abraham's faith and trust in God, it was imputed unto him of righteousness. We are a recipient of the blessing God promised Abraham, and that Jesus was raised from the dead through Abraham's lineage, his life. Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross for forgiveness for everyone that believes. We know that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was accepted by God, and through that we can experience justification. The foundation of our faith is in the fact that there was sinless blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And then Jesus rose again and was conquer over death and lives today. We serve a living Savior. The promise of God. I would like to close with a promise in 2 Chronicles 7. You can turn there with me. Second Chronicles 7, verse 11. Let's take these words to heart this morning. Comfort our souls together. Comfort our hearts. Verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 7. All right. I have something wrong here. 2 Chronicles 7. Yes, thank you, Brother Steve. Verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What does that say to you this morning? The secret of walking with God through change is the surrender of our will to His. We rest in the fact that no change happens to us without God knowing it. Thou, God, seest me. His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. We find direction through change as we love the Lord with all our heart and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. On those two hang all the law and the prophets. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. My prayers are with you as a congregation this morning. We lift you up to the throne of grace. It's been but a few short months that I sat where you're sitting this morning, waiting on God. But I want to assure you this morning that God knows all the change. And God wants us to surrender our will. I needed to do that. I remember calling Brother Steve and saying, Brother Steve, we need to talk. There's a meeting with God this week. Just need to lay it down. Lay down your will to God's. God bless you. Shall we pray?